What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We hope you had some great gaming since last you listened to us, and if you're new here, welcome to the table. We're Filling in the Gaps Rerolled, and we work together to bring you a podcast of three DMs who create a series of randomized themes and scenarios that are rolled on two tables of D20s. It's a great way to get those creative juices flowing and to come up with some unique ideas that you might not find anywhere else. With that out of the way, I'm happy to introduce myself as Malcolm, one of your hosts.
I'm David, I'm your second host.
And I'm Sam, last and probably least.
Oh, Sam, don't be so hard on yourself. We all love each other here. We're all good friends, or at least we are now. We didn't really know each other too well when we started this thing up, but hey, we've come a long way.
Yeah.
So, gentlemen, to really get things going, before we start off with our rolling a theme and scenario, I have a question for you, and it does not have to do with rolling, surprisingly. Instead, it is going to be on what little things do you guys do just for you as DMs? And I don't mean the ways of relaxing. I mean in your games, what are the little things that players don't notice but you love that you do?
I think my favorite that I do that never really comes to light is I like to play like sandbox games. So it's very player choice driven. And so countries and continents and factions will all have varying levels of kind of relationships with the player party. And I track that in an Excel sheet just numerically with how they feel about each other. And they kind of get a sense of that playing, but they don't really know
the extensiveness.
Yeah.
So you're literally the algorithm in like the RPG video games. It's like, they don't like you enough to work with that. So yeah, That's kind of fun. What about you, Sam?
I cry a lot.
No, Sam, in the game.
Oh, yeah, no, I cry a lot because my players, what I like doing the most, is just providing laughs for my players. And that's kind of how I track how the session's going. I also, what they don't really know is my prep style is I have a sheet of possible, I don't know, I don't want to say like consequences, but like things that'll happen if they start, you know, going too off the tracks that they may not know about until a couple sessions later.
Nice.
I like that concept, actually.
Yeah, so if there's always at least three things that they could possibly find out and possibly not find out, depending on the way they go. And honestly, it's really helped them get more focused in on the game rather than just coming in and be like, let's fuck shit up this session. I'm like, nope, we're telling a story together, boys. Please stop going to the brothels every session that I have to make up the
I
name.
I see why you cry. Yeah. But it's something I can never do. And speaking for myself, as I just showed there, my thing's more along the lines of putting in subtle references or clever little tweaks to specific things, stuff that people won't necessarily notice. For example, I had a when I was DMing for a while, for those who know, I am not an active DM. It's so tragic. I'm so sad. When I was DMing, what I did at one point was there was a comedy club that was run by gnolls, and all of the gnolls were mashed up names of popular comedians. So you'd have Dave Chappelle and Eddie Murphy, and you'd get Dave Murphy, and you'd get I can't remember any of the people now. It's been so long, but I did that with a lot of people, but it's one of my favorite things to do with a bunch of, anytime I make an archetype, that's one of the things I do. I don't really change the name. I just smash it with somebody else's name, and then people go, I don't get who that is. There's no Nathan Croft. There's no Laura Drake. And it's like, haha. But if you were to switch those around, you might see some popular characters you recognize, and their archetypes do sometimes give it away. But I always thought that to be very interesting and a kind of a fun way of doing it.
That's cool. I like that. On that note, or jumping to another note, I have another question.
And what question would that be?
Shall we roll?
Let's do it!
So this is the part of the podcast where we're going to have our two DMs that are not me roll two dice off of our roll a dice each for a theme and a scenario. So one's going to roll themes and one's going to roll scenarios.
I'm rolling themes today with this really nice metal brush bronze dice, and I can't wait. It's a nice roll. It's a good 15.
On and that on themes, scenarios.
Themes table.
I'm rolling scenarios, and I'm using my giant blue desk-breaking dice again. That's so loud. And I got a 4.
15 on the themes table. Woo! 15!
This is a...
We're filling in the gaps. F-I-T-G.
And what did you get, David?
Oh, I had a 4. We have it in here. It's, so our combination today.
Well, I want to do it. I'm
sorry. Yes, go ahead.
but let me jump to it here. Our combination today is, okay, so we'll do. Our combination today seems to be a theme of musical by LaGravy, and scenario is Perfect Date by, I don't know how to say that. Seol. I think it's Sojol, or how
would
you say?
The J would be pronounced like a Y, I believe.
Oh, it's Yol.
Seol.
Seol. Okay, so by Seol, I believe it's pronounced. But thank you guys for sending in our theme and scenario. We are always looking for new themes and scenarios, so you guys can go ahead and tweet those at us at F-I-T-G-D-N-D. That's a lot of letters, but just think Fit G-D-N-D and you'll get there. Awesome. So when you guys hear musical and a perfect date, what comes to mind? David, I think I have some ideas for you based off of the last episode. You kind of talked about Aladdin there, so we know that can be kind of a source of inspiration. But
yeah, this is a very interesting combination for the show.
There's nothing wrong with not having an episode where monsters aren't trying to eat people and the world's not ending. It can just be a classic, nice time that we're trying to have. We could have a downtime episode. I will admit I'm a little sad that we didn't get bombarded for this one.
So, usually when there's a musical episode in a show, it's because someone has a head injury or there's some kind of weird magic thing going on. I think that would be good for this. We could have the party kind of walk into a town that's either been enchanted or are all head injury cases that now are singing. And while it's weird to the party, everyone in town is going to look at the party as outsiders because they're not singing and breaking into dance numbers.
It very much reminds me of, well, spoilers, if you watch One Piece...
I was just gonna start that. No joke. but go ahead.
There's a pirate who basically can put their soul into things, and what they do is they put it inside a forest and different candies and houses and stuff like that. So it's just a big old musical number all the time on their island and ship and stuff. So I think that reminds me of that. I didn't want to. I guess it wasn't too much of a spoil, but.
I'm actually reminded of the TV show The Flash when it did a crossover with Supergirl, which was a very weird thing to have happen, and the way they rectified it was making the episode a musical, which doesn't help at all, because they were just like, oh, there's this being from a different dimension who comes in, and it goes like, I don't like how your stories are going, so instead, I'm going to make this happier by making it a musical and forcing you to work out your problems. And that's what they do. Now, for this, I wouldn't suggest doing that. In fact, I think it would be funnier or more interesting, I've always said that musicals are kind of the way people kind of really express their inner feelings, and I find it really funny that nobody ever remembers what they just sang about after it happens. Like, you do this big ballad about how things are going to be different, and nobody reacts to it. Everyone's just like, anyway, she's just been standing there for 15 minutes. But if you had a person who had the power to cause this kind of, like, thing, maybe you have this really shy, really anxious wizard, and they're like, but I want the princess, or I want the prince to notice me, and they do this big they have the power to do, like, this musical thing to the town, to the people around them, and they need to get close enough to make this happen. You could have it be like that, where it's like, they're trying to make their life into a better thing, and they need to, or you could have it just be a different version of, not mind reading, I forgot what that spell is, but telepathy, kind of, in a way, where you kind of, it's turning that into something more fun, so expressing spells in a different fashion. Mm-hmm. You could have that, or you could, Perfect date also is very important. Yeah. Last episode, we did Radio and Juliet, excuse me. So we don't want to just go ahead and retread that ground, but we can have it be that this is a... I kind of want to do more of the Lovelorn this time, I think. I think that's an interesting story where you have a person who's going for someone and maybe they don't know it. Maybe they do. Maybe they share feelings. Maybe they don't. You can kind of decide that DM to DM, but have it be maybe it's a class difference. Maybe it's a situational difference. Maybe it's just that their timing's off, like whatever. And your job as a party is to, like, this person's come to you and gone, hey, help me out with this. And they're like, I'm doing all this stuff, and you have it be that musicals just happen. Maybe it's a curse given upon them that can only be cured. If you really want to go sappy Disney, it can only be cured by true love and the first kiss or whatever. And then it's like, okay, well,
I actually love that.
It's sappy, and I don't normally like sappy, but it works. There's a reason Disney has not changed their formula but so much over all these years. It's cute. It works. People like it. So just have it be that you're in a Disney story now. You have to help this princess, prince, whomever, get to find their true love, meet, and then have it be the date be perfect so that they can get the kiss, so that the spell can break, so that everyone can stop having irresistible dance and whatever the other thing you're going to have cast on them to make them sing is. So, because it can be a bubble curse as well. Like, you can have it be that it's just whomever is around this person, and they're like, this is a horrific existence. It sounds fun, but have you ever been around people who can't stop singing?
Yes, so. I am theater major. That was...
Oh, I love musical theater. That's just a fun thing.
So, Malcolm, you said curse before, so...
I did say a curse.
What if... Just go with me for a few seconds here. You have your players, they're in a town, an old lady asks them for help, and they say, no! And she curses them. When they turn into, just off the top of my head, I'm going to say cats. And now they have to sing their way through the town and learn their lesson to help the people in need. And, you know, there's a ballad of memories in there and stuff like that, you know. And I think you should just have them play the Cats movie. Well, musical. But that you should take that musical Cats and let's make it into a session right now.
I hear you. I do. But honestly, that movie hurt me in a different way than I knew was possible.
If you didn't watch that movie completely drunk, if you're of age, then you should never watch that movie.
The movie is just a fascinating look at why some things are better as plays than they are as movies. Some things, even when done absolutely perfectly, do not translate for whichever reason. And it's real weird. But this is not the Cats podcast. This is filling in the gaps.
Cats was not done perfectly. Anyone who thinks Cats was done perfectly needs to learn what a movie is. Because that wasn't that. That was torture. That's what we play for terrorists and stuff.
We'll get back to that. But, so yeah, what I'm thinking is you have it be that you have these people, you have a curse happen to them where, not to the players, because we don't want to have them have a bad time, but you have somebody else who's like, please help me. I have to, I'm a shy person. Ella Enchanted. It's the thing of, okay, so in Ella Enchanted, the thing is the fairy godmother, who is supposed to be a good person, is not good at being a good person. She does not help Ella. Instead, she gives her this gift that turns out to be awful. So you have this person who's like, help, everyone sings around me, and it was supposed to be a joyous thing, but I can't get it to stop, and I'm not a bold person, and it only ends when I'm like, when I fall, when I can like be with my love, and that I can't do that because everyone just sings around me, and I don't know what to do with that. And then your players, of course, are going to be like, I've seen Disney movies, singing is a good thing. And then we're going to be like, I don't know how to weaponize that. And you're going to be like, we'll weaponize your singing. This is going to be our, like, our first low stakes episodes, guy. So if we actually manage this,
oh, I disagree.
If we keep this,
oh, yeah, I'm totally disagreeing. I'm
immediately gonna make this big.
Oh, God.
So I really love the idea of this being a curse. I don't know if it would need to be between, like, people who don't know each other. My first instinct was it's like a curse that generates around reconciling a marriage. So the perfect date would be bringing these two people back together. Ooh. And the curse starts with basically just the two of them falling into these musical kind of virus. But because they're not reconciling and getting back together, it's spreading out from them. Like, starting going into the town, everybody starts to sing. And then the outlying villages of the town start getting infected and having to sing. And then it just keeps spreading. And so your party will kind of run into this thing and start to, like, be affected by having to do everything in a musical. And that could be a really fun thing where you just pass one of your players a note and you're like, hey, your next line, sing it.
You could do that. I was thinking, okay, so you have to, in musicals, you have to sing while you do everything. So I think stealthing and stuff would be hard, but I think you legitimately have to add a extra, it'd be like your built-in disadvantage is that if you don't roll well on your performance, because it's a whole performative number if you're in the area that's affected. If you don't roll well in your performance, as well as your whatever role you're trying to do, then it won't work. So if you're like, oh, hey, I'll heal you up real quick using this spell. And it's like, oh, you got to sing while you do it. Roll performance. And it's like, ooh, that's a nat one on performance. Guess you don't heal anybody. And that can be the thing of the spell. Because I know there's players out there who are like, I like this, but I don't want to sing. I don't want to actually sing. I don't want to do it. And it's like, well, okay, well, then this will be your thing. Is that... This is mechanically how it affects you. It is not just, hey, we're gathering together a bunch of people and we're going to have karaoke night and D&D, which is insane. But that sounds like a great time. But that also sounds really, really difficult. So to have it be... Oh gosh, I had like a major fear I wasn't recording for a second. I am. But to have it be that the thing is, you have these, I do like the idea of a couple. I don't know if I do married. I would just do a couple.
Yeah.
It could be, you could even, if you want to make it a certain way, you can make it a bunch of bards. You can make it two bards. you can make it two bards who have broken up and that's like messed with their magic to the point where it's causing this level to affect
the couple is everywhere. Got to be a warlock and a bard. And the thing that's doing this curse
is the patron.
Is the patron.
Yes. And the patron, you could have the patron either be on the, like, you could have the warlock feel whatever way, but the patron's got to be like, no, I need them together because it makes him better at doing what I need him to do. So it's still a selfish reason for the patron to want it, but it's like, no, he's not effective anymore, or she's not effective anymore, so I need them to be maximally effective, which means they got to be back together. This is really cute, and if this comes out around Valentine's Day, this would be nice.
Oh, we could run this as a Valentine's one shot.
I would do that. I would do that. That's easy. But yeah, so you have it be that these two are not getting along, not together, and the patron's causing this curse to spread further and further until, you know, Oh man, you guys are gonna make me say it. Until the world is controlled in song by the patron. Oh, it's world stakes again. Yes.
So I but, think yeah, the party is able to figure out, kind of like by triangulation or however else, where this like originates from once they come to the edge of the curse. But they're not going to be the only ones. You'll have all kinds of different people who are getting infected. I'm using infected, who are getting affected by this curse.
No, infected's fine.
And so they'll kind of figure out where it's coming from, and you'll have angry people coming to this town. And so part of setting up this perfect date is kind of fending off like a group of terribly angry orcs who come in singing show tunes. Here comes
the
mob
with the big old pitchforks.
Yeah. And then you can have all kinds of weird singing groups between different types of people throughout your world. You can have elves come in doing like an Irish jig, or
yeah, you could have it be that everyone's mad and everyone's singing. You could, and if you're like, but I'm the DM and I don't want to sing or I don't know how to sing, this is the time where you pull out the songs that you find on the internet that are very good.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like, somebody might use a certain mambo number to, for their campaign if this were to happen in their world, I imagine.
I would 100% do that. There would be 9 ladies, all with the same names as them, all singing, and you would have to find Lou wherever he was. Actually, this is very funny because this fits into like the parody campaign or parody setting that I'm working on. It would fit very nicely in there.
So yeah, so you can do stuff like that where you can take songs. You could have perhaps there is a man who's stealing all the women after this event happens, and he goes like, "You'll never," and they'll be like, "We gotta stop him." And so like, who's that? And it's like, "Oh, that's Joseph. He lost his eye in the war." And I'm like, "You mean Cotton Eye Joe?" then-
Where'd he come from? Where'd he go?
So you have, like, different characters. Because songs have a lot of characters in them. I don't know if people have paid attention, but they do. Mm-hmm. So you can take those things and have those become real. You can take the fact that there's... You can do this curse in a few ways. I think it's just would be more and more negatively affecting the world and making people out to be certain ways. Again, maybe people don't originally act a certain way. Maybe Joseph is fine, but then at one point, he comes back from the war, and the music's attacking him, and he's like, I'm just gonna go out, I'm gonna do what I do from the thing. And it's like, what's wrong with Joseph? And it's like, oh, he got that musical virus. And then he's just like, I haven't been for that, and you're like, oh man, this is bad. And you can track where everybody is kind of going with it and try to figure out what you need to do to get these two bards together. You can even... Now, a lot of people are hesitant to have patrons ever appear to anybody because it's a patron.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be, like, real old, real high up there and real not personal. But I think if this one's getting this involved in this warlock's life
the whole time.
Oh, dude, trust me, I treat my gods like they're Greek. They show up everywhere all the time.
Well, my gods are Greek, but I also have my patrons being like, what's up? I need you to do this for me. BT dubs.
Yeah, that's... I typically do more dream work than anything for them. Be like, they appear in your dreams. And like, very rarely do they patrons show. I don't know. I feel like patrons are above Greek gods. We've had this debate in the Discord. You're welcome to join it there. Follow us on Discord. Anyway, so having them be a kind of presence that comes down and goes like, they can just be some random person. You don't have to introduce them as the patron. Just be kind of the Stan Lee cameo that goes, I've always thought that those two were a good couple. It's a shame that they can't find common ground. And then you just be like, okay, what are you talking about, old man? And the old man's gone. You're like, oh.
And he's the only person not singing.
Yep. And so it's like... I'm like, how are you doing this? And you'll be like, what are you talking about? It's fine. I don't have to do anything. I don't want to do that, so I don't. Do you have a problem not doing things you don't want to do? So yeah, it's, you can have really a lot of fun with this, and this may still be world stakes, but I'm staking it here. It's going to be a fun one, dagnab, but we're not going dark for once.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be
Disney-fying.
Dark. We can still have stakes and not be dark.
Oh, that's true. But yeah, so yeah, we have these situations. You have different people kind of coming in. You can have different people starting to get upset with you. That's the other thing. So, bring it back to what I said in the beginning. Songs typically have people belt out their ideas and people suddenly recognize, hey, you just said some stuff that's, like, really uncool. So you could have it be that, be like this person be like, I've secretly hated you all my life. And it's like, oh. And that's causing, like, problems within itself because it's kind of, in sense, a truth spell taking the form of a magic spell.
Of a magical singing spell, yes. I think you can also definitely have one of those moments of, like, Entangled with Finn Rider's, like, why is everyone singing? I don't get it.
Well, that's what you can have the patron there for. Be like,
because he's one of the few Disney characters who does not sing.
He does for a little bit.
Yeah, but, you know, it's way back in the movie. It's way in the end.
No, and he's active in the one part where they're like, sing or else we stab you with the swords. And he's right. Like, oh, I guess I gotta sing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can have those moments and you can pull out. So pull out, grab a list of all your favorite, you know, Disney movies or, you know, your musicals, depending on where you are and what you like. And you can even just do regular songs too. It doesn't have to be musical or Disney or whatnot, but pick out your favorites. And I think you can definitely just start circling or highlighting parts that you want your players to go through.
Yeah.
Or deal with. The perfect date. So are we married to the idea of a couple trying to get together? Or do we want to go with a perfect date of like you have until the moon's aligned type of thing? Or
no, I or like the April 25th. I like the idea of keeping this one sweet. I just do. I like the idea of a couple for this one.
And it could be okay. they don't necessarily need to be in a relationship. It could be a warlock who's pining after a bard, and that's what kicked this all off.
Or a bard pining after a warlock, because the patron can be like, no, he doesn't know what's good for him. I'm doing this. I'm setting this up. Sorry, David.
I think it should be the warlock going after someone, because the patron's like pushing them forward.
And they're kind of, your warlock is too depressed to do your requests, so you're like, fine, I'll set you up, but you're this otherworldly power who doesn't setting up.
It reminds me of like if it's a warlock of like the undying or something, so it's like got like a skeleton arm, and he's like, the patron's like, no one cares if you have a skeleton arm. I know that was the price that I set up, and maybe that was too steep, so let's just get you out there, buddy. And then the party has to help them find, like, get a date, and it can't be like a party member because he doesn't want a pity date.
Oh, that's so good.
I like the idea. So there's this one comic online where it has this person and it's like summons a Cthulhu monster and goes, ooh, has summoned me. And he goes, I have. And he was like, what do you ask of my unlimited knowledge? He's like, how do I ask out a girl? And he goes, and it comes back that has a little bow on its head and goes, all right, pretend I'm her. it's just, I picture it like that where it's like, oh, this patron's just like, oh, yes, I, it, mm. So having it be that it's like, it can be this thing where you either have, doesn't even necessarily have to be like a depressed one. It could just be like the thing of like, oh, he's going to be distracted if he doesn't get this. Or she, we keep throwing it out there that the bard's a he, but it could be a girl bard.
Well, it's the warlock. The warlock is going after someone, right?
Sorry, warlock. I'm used to bards being the ones who are, you know, relationship centered.
Don't categorize us all as horny people. My bards aren't like that most of the time.
Fair enough. So you put the warlock going like, it's like, well, they're gonna be distracted if they don't get this. You gotta push them forward, you gotta have it be that they're set to go, and that way it's a thing of like, you have a person who's reluctant but wants something.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the thing that's stopping them from getting it. You have the additional cost of them not getting it, which is the fact that the musical thing is spreading further and further until they all confess their feelings. And maybe it can even be a thing where they're like avoiding that person because they're like, I'll break out into song around them and then I'm going to confess my true feelings. And that's bad. And it's like, but won't you get an answer that way? And I'm like, yeah. And that's bad. Like,
oh, that's so good.
That's very real. But yeah, you have it that you have these
a warlock with anxiety who's like, I don't want to go talk to my crush. What if they say no? And I can't lie.
The patron's like, ah, but that was our deal. Like you signed your soul over so I could help you. It reminds me very much of Mr. Meeksies and Jerry with his his golf swing. Oh, he's trying.
just got squeeze up and follow through. It's just the thing of just like, all right, all you got to do is just, it's like, all you got to do is just talk to her. And you could have the patron be like, hey, like, I don't think a warlock's that dumb. And I don't think a patron would be that stupid to just be like, hey, I'm going to make a deal with him to set him up with this. But I think a warlock would be dumb enough to trade their soul for something else. And then they're like, oh, hey, I want this. And the patron can be like, that's fine. And then they're like, oh, this is being more complicated than I'd like. Whatever, just tell her how you feel. And it's like, now I can't stop singing my feelings around people, and that's bad. So you're just in a situation where it's like, okay, everyone's doing that. And again, if you want, I can't believe I'm going to say it, higher stakes, you can put together that in a world where everyone can't lie and everyone's telling each other the truth, how would that affect things? Well, you'd have people actually be really confrontational, especially if you had a meeting of kingdoms on a certain time that was supposed to come together, and that the person in charge was like, I know that this is bad. We have to fix that before that happens, because if our king talks to the king of a different nation while they're here, we're going to just end up going to war. And it's all because I can't talk to my crush. And it's like, yeah, you should do that then. You should. And it's like, I don't know what to say. And so you could have a thing where it's just even, hey, we're going to help you figure that out. And you have this anxious warlock who's just like, I don't know what to do. And then at the end, you could have it be that you have like that hat tip or that like little thing from a random stranger who disappears. And you're like, wait, who was that? And that's the patron. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, yeah, you... that kind of like, you done good, kid, type thing before it just disappears. And you're like, what was that? And it's like, oh, did you see him too? And it's like, oh, he doesn't normally show himself to straight. And it's like, who is that? And it's like, oh, that's Mr. Meeseeks. That's whomever. That's the guy. That's my patron. And it's like, what?
I think that's great. I think that'd be a great way to like just give your warlock a little bit more time to shine than, you know, they would normally do, especially interacting with patrons and stuff like that. I feel like a lot of the time that's overlooked, at least in a lot of the podcasts I listen to that have warlocks, it's a little bit overlooked. It's like, yeah, I got this deal, but like, I want to hear how you guys interact.
Yeah.
Because I also don't think warlocks all have to have creepy patrons either.
Mm-hmm.
You can have someone who gives you power and it's not just to steal your soul and stuff.
Wouldn't that just be a cleric at that point?
No, because you make a pact. You're making a deal. Clerics are gifted their powers.
That's like, fair.
They're not gifted, but they make an oath.
No, that's accurate. That is accurate. It is more of a gift. It's more of a requested gift in most cases, but it is a gift nonetheless.
Right. Here you're like, look, Asmodeus, I got the hots for this girl. I really need your help talking to her, or guy, whoever, like whatever, you know, gender you choose. I need help talking to this person. Can you help me out? And Asmodeus is like, yeah, dude, of course.
They're into music. Let me. I got you.
They're into music. I got you.
That's got to be it. It's just a patron being like, look, he told me he was into music. He's like, I'm not stopping it. It should work itself out. He's like, if the world gets burned down before he does it, that's his problem. I'll make a new world. Whatever.
You into, she like music? They like music? Yeah, they do. Great. Got it. You're done. He go back and everyone's singing. He's like, I didn't mean, oh no.
But yeah, having it be something separate out from the party, setting these two individuals up on a date, having the thing be that... Also, you have to have it be that the date's going to go poorly if they don't interact. And so it's like, the date will keep messing up until they enter. So because if they're like, hey, go talk to... It will automatically fail. This person is going to be very bad at this. Mm-hmm. Like, they will have the best intentions. It'll just be bad luck.
I think it would be also smart for the DM who is doing this session, for if your players decide to like bounce and give up on it, that slowly and surely, like you said, David, that this spreads to the point where no matter where they are in your world, it's a singing campaign, and it gets annoying, it gets hard, and then you're just like, well, you made this choice to start this quest. This ain't no side quest or Skyrim. This is spreading because you're not helping.
The other thing, too, is they can get it where, like David said something about it being an infection, so I like the idea of wherever they go,
it also spreads.
It's like, maybe you're away from the main source of it, and maybe you don't have it anymore, but you still carry around that kind of, like, vibe with it. So maybe it's enough where if there's all three of you together, or all four of you, five of you, how many ever your party has, it's like, okay, if you get another person around, it's gonna start kind of mingling, and maybe it's gonna start with some irresistible dancing, but then it's gonna change into, okay, now they're breaking out the song again, and be like, wait a minute, this is bad. And they'll be like, we need to help that dumb warlock get on that stupid date.
Your party basically just gets to be Sebastian from The Little Mermaid.
Yes. So, actually, a little bit more Disney, they're basically the fairy godmother. They're helping with the whole date. Mm-hmm. So you get to really set everything up.
I think it'd be great for you to have, you know, your party meets with the warlock beforehand, sets up the date. Okay, task one, you ask them out. This is how you ask them out. So like the bard gives them pointers or someone else. You ask them out. Two, ask them to go to this park at this time. Then your party like scurries over there and they have, you know, you have your druid transform into a beautiful rabbit or some sort of like beautiful bird. And you have a flyby.
I instantly thought beautiful tree.
Oh, you could do beautiful tree. Like your party is setting the scene for the perfect date. They're going to the restaurant that they're about to like eat at and they're the waiters or waitresses. And they're bringing in out the food, like then you can have them roll different ability checks to see if like, oh, do you stumble with the heavy tray because you've never been a waiter before? And do you drop it on them and ruin the date type of events? And then you can have different checks to see how successful the date was. And if they get enough check marks on, they essentially make the perfect date for them. I think that's
now, here's another question. Do we want to have it be that it has to be with this individual? Because it could be the thing. I agree it should not be anybody in the party. They can be deemed unworthy or whatever. But I think having it be, especially if we're going to have the thing of, oh, you messed up on that date, it should be the thing of, well, you can try again with a different person, or you have to convince that person to try again.
Right, yeah.
I think it should be that person.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. If you get too many different variations, then I think it gets too chaotic. I would say,
all right,
X loves Y and is trying to get them to go on a date. Very Disney.
Yeah.
Very Disney. And I am very happy with this. Let's see. Just checking something real quick. Do-do-do. Where'd we go? Wah-wah-wah-wah.
So what other kind of encounters or events would the party... And I guess this kind of depends on... However your party is set up, you're going to have different date ideas based on your players.
Well, let's do something a little different for this one. How much time do we have? We've got about 20 minutes left, guys. I have an idea. Let's pull up all the classes.
Okay.
And let's go through what each one could do. We have enough time for it, I think, where you could break this down. So let's go alphabetically. We have a barbarian.
Well, we have artificer.
Oh, well, okay. Yours is a bit more updated than mine.
we have an D&D artificer. Beyond, so the artificer could make a trinket for the warlock to give as a gift.
Yep.
Okay, so we have the artificer who can make trinkets, maybe gadgets, maybe do something cool.
Jewelry.
Right. Like jewelry, yeah, yeah. A necklace that plays their favorite song. But they can't,
even just
but they can't hear it because everyone else is singing around them.
Yeah, a little music box. That'd be kind of a fun joke.
It could be an anti-music box, so they have a brief second to just talk to each other.
Yeah, like a cone of silence almost.
Right.
But, yeah.
Barbarian. Like oh.
Barbarian would be just like feats of athletics.
He would be the winner.
Just show her how good you are at running.
Yeah, the barbarian could be
personal trainer.
Pretending to personal trainer or could do something wrong in town, you know, with the other party members, fake like a robbery, and the warlock stops the crime.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. Bard could teach pickup lines or how to play a song.
Yeah.
Or
Bard
sing.
Could even just, yeah. Bard's doing even how to ask them out, so that's a good one.
Give them bardic inspiration.
That's honestly, that's a really good one. Just give bardic inspiration.
Everyone forgets
cleric.
To do.
Cleric.
Heroism? Can be... They could cast heroism on them. Something, some kind of magic spell to give one. Them more confidence or just a blessing.
Barbarian can teach them more confidence stuff as well. If you don't want to just throw a lot of stuff onto Bard, you could have it be that you have Barbarian be like, no, you got to be tough. You got to know how to handle yourself. You got to be sturdy and strong. And like, you know, kind of just like, hey, you have this kind of sense of like, hey, don't be like afraid to be tougher and like stand up for yourself and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And kind of have that kind of lovely little Disney lesson in there.
You have the barbarian walk up. Look at this bicep. This bicep got me 6 girls.
Ooh, this photograph.
You could have the druid could do weather things and make the date perfect, you know, mm-hmm. not too hot, not too cold. And all you need is a light jacket.
Oh, wait, what do we do for cleric?
Can you give a blessing or something on
that? Oh, that's true. Yeah, a blessing or can
heroism,
just have it be that they're...
Give them a god's blessing.
That's
and stuff,
who you
yeah.
said heroism for. I'm sorry. I thought that was for barbarian as well.
You'd have to hold your cleric
no, but
back
that makes
from
sense.
The premarital sex talk.
Yeah. Mm,
that's going to be fun.
Well, depending on what god their god is.
Yeah.
The fighter could give, I don't know, pointers on things. I don't really. I've never played a fighter, so I don't
fighters
know what they do.
Fighters are strategic in motions and things. So I feel like you could like have it be like, you know, the proper way to walk a person across the street is to have them on the inside and you walk on the street side, so that way they feel protected. Like little things and like weird
the chivalry code.
Yes, yes.
Basically,
in the book Art of War by Sun Tzu.
Monk actually is probably where that would come in.
Or paladin too.
I feel like monk would be about like steadying and anxiety, so you could have different things where it's like calm yourself, focus in,
breathing techniques.
Yeah, where the barbarian would be like physical training, the monk would be more mental training.
Yeah, so you could have these different things that can maybe you do these roles in training that then help out the date go better or worse if you do these practices beforehand, making so you don't have to have more involvement later.
That reminded me of there's something about Mary.
Oh no.
When you talk about doing things before a date to make it go better.
So anyway,
which party member's gonna
watch
bring
something
that up?
About Mary if you want to? That's an interesting.
Speaking
film.
About getting
not my favorite.
Stuff stuck, paladins, they could ask their god for protection, or they could incite different things, like how to eat properly at a table.
Yeah, I kind of have that kind of code of chivalry that you brought up a little bit earlier, David, to kind of have that kind of
The ranger, I think, gives like advice on how to not to get too close, but just close enough where you can keep your eye on them type thing.
The ranger or the druid could be like, okay, we're going to go out into this part of the forest and find these nice flowers.
Yeah, you can find the flowers, you can find berries, and be like, those are poisonous. These are very delicious. Do not confuse the two. One of them will be a very bad date.
It reminds
so you can have different things
like Avatar and Iroh when he's making tea. Oh, this could be the rare jasmine tea, or it could be the whatever poisonous one. Ah, it was the poisonous one.
You could have the rogue be
just
like, be mysterious,
tricks.
Be more cagey.
The rogue would just do like sneak around during the date to like push stuff into the right locations.
Yes, yeah. the warlock goes to get a sip from a straw, and you see the rogue like turn the straw into his mouth.
This is the perfect like slight adjustment. Just slight adjustments everywhere from rogue.
Sorcerer is just telling him how you're born with the magic within you already.
Yeah, believe in yourself type speech kind of thing. You can do
another warlock is just say just goes ask your patron. I don't know.
Yeah, like have the maybe you can be like my patron knows your patron. Maybe this could like maybe we can get him to chill on the spell for a bit, or maybe it can be like a thing of like, they can have some, curry some divine favor to be like, all right, we've got it to stop for like 20 minutes is what we could agree for the patron to do to get this to stop. But we can't get this to permanently stop. So maybe do something with that. Maybe you have some ways of ending it or making it a bit simpler. And of course, Wizard can be like, hey.
Books. You can pull out Dating 101 book.
I mean, you could have like different magic and stuff that they know about that helps to affect the date mm-hmm. and different things that they can do. Prestidigitation, I always think of as like fireworks, or you could do a silent image and do like an old movie that they can watch.
I just like the concept of him pulling out his book and be like, oh yes, I read this when I was a young boy. Pickup lines 101.
Back in my day, they had 99.
What shoulder does a pirate have its parrot on? The right shoulder. And then he goes and does it.
All right. But yeah, I just wanted to go through those because I know a lot of times we give these suggestions. A lot of people would think like, all right, how would I do this for my specific group? And if you're playing Bloodhunter from Critical Role, well, I don't know.
Shoot him in the face. I don't know. I don't know what Bloodhunter does.
No. Don't do that. But try to, I don't know, do something creative. But yeah, those are just some suggestions you could do for your different classes if you're feeling like.
And your party will definitely have suggestions.
Yeah, everyone's going to tackle a date very differently, and that's part of the fun part of it. And the cool part of it is if you have your edgelord person who's just like, I don't want to be the person who helps people get on a date. And it's like, well, then you better figure out how to prevent a war from happening, because that's what's about to happen when these two generals meet and discuss all their secrets in song. So you either got to break in there and interrupt that, or do something. So
it's going to be really hard for you to be edgy while singing show tunes.
Yep.
Yes.
Your whole thing's kind of ruined because they realize what golden voice you actually have underneath. Oh, the gruff. And it's like, oh no, you can actually sing. But yeah, you could have it be that all sorts of things can happen with this, where you have a very interesting and fun occasion. You can have it be that the stakes are high because you could have the kingdoms meeting, or you could just have it be a low stakes event where you just want to help this warlock get his cute crush to notice him and go on a date. It's nice to have the low stakes every now and again.
This one was a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be.
I wasn't worried about this one. I was just uncertain of where we were going to go. Once we got to Magical Curse, it was like, I got it.
Yeah.
I feel good. I'd run this.
Yeah, me too.
If you guys want me to run this, I will run this. Easily.
You don't want me to run this one. It's going to be all Lubig.
Why is everyone singing the same song?
No, see, mine's going to be all the Six Flags theme. Da, 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 da.
Crazy Frog.
There are no lyrics.
Good old Crazy Frog.
Oh, no. That'd be great, too. But, yeah. So, yeah, that's our thing. So, would anybody like to recap?
I think you're recap.
Yep.
Am I recap?
Yep. You were a host.
Oh, I'm intro.
I'm a synopsis, and David is outro.
Oh, so I am. Well, I'm gonna sing it. No, I'm not gonna sing the recap. That would be horrendous. Way back in days of old. No, though Gallivant is a fantastic show, and I don't mind plugging that because it's great. But yeah, so with everything happening, your party decides to go to a town where they are noticing people are a little strange here. Everything seems pretty normal, but they notice a very rundown, amongst their typical bar runs or wherever occasion place they typically frequent, they see a young warlock who is down on their luck in love, and they come to them and say, please help me. I'm terribly cursed. My patron has betrayed me, and I need help getting rid of this this curse that's going on. This curse is that this person's affected by a magical spell that is currently spreading across the kingdom, causing people to randomly burst into song and confess their innermost feelings about the people near to them. Though seemingly harmless, this quickly becomes a bigger issue once you figure out that there might be some people meeting of great importance soon. So some big meetings might be happening and some secrets might be unveiled. This might also be a good chance for your characters to confess some very deep parts of their backstory that they don't fear are being addressed. This way you can have a good time while trying to set this person up with their beloved, who may or may not know that they exist. You put them together and hopefully help them along the way with the date, either through advice and some skills, or just some skill checks, or just advice if you're feeling, you know, confident, which I wouldn't recommend feeling that confident against a DM ever. And so you go off, you have the date, you stop possibly a horrendous spell from spreading. Also, if the people leave the town, the spell goes with them because, you know, you're infected with this now. It's a part of you, and it'll be part of the whole world soon if you don't fix it. Because we can't have low stakes for one stagnabbit. Anyway, that's about the recap.
All right.
How are we feeling about the synopsis?
I think I got a good one. We'll spit this one out. Your party arrives into a cute little town. As they enter the town, they are greeted by birds chirping and the most beautiful weather. The sun is in like the perfect spot. It seems like golden hour is every hour. They start talking. They go to the bar. All of a sudden, they realize that the atmosphere around them makes a tune. The glasses keep hitting at the same rhythm. All of a sudden, the bar erupts into a song. Which is very confusing to the party. As they leave, they pass the streets and they see all the doors and windows opening to a different beat, and people on the street are singing with each other, some arguing, some just having a normal conversation. It's not until they get to an old man sitting on a bench. He's the only one not singing, and they talk to him, and he turns to them. "Oh, I really need your help. My stupid warlock prodigy has... he came to me and our deal was he needs to speak to his love, and I gave him the gift of music, yet he won't use it. He won't sing, and now it's spreading from him to everyone, and I just need this to stop. My head hurts so much. Please, will you please help this backboneless person get a date with his fair... beloved person. It can be any gender, guys. It doesn't matter. And will your party accept? If not, get ready for a bunch of sessions of sing-song time."
Yeah.
And with that,
I would love to run this campaign.
I will throw this over to David as he takes us out.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. We really appreciate you listening. We do have a Discord that is open. And we're still always looking for more ideas on themes and scenarios that we can add to our lists. So if you want to hit us up on Twitter or on Discord to give us some more ideas. 5-star review ratings and reviews really help us to kind of get the word out on the podcast as well. So if you haven't done that in your respective podcast sharing site, it'd be awesome if you did that for us. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Filling in the Gaps. Our theme music is Today by Linby off of the album Drive. If you like it, you can hear more of them at linby.bandcamp.com or on the Actual Play podcast Bombard It. If you're looking for us on social media, this is David. You can find me at Daedra18, that is Daedra18.
You can find me at The Ruler of Rhyme.
I am at DMMambo5
on Twitter. You can also follow the show at FitGDND or on our Discord server. We're always looking for new themes and scenarios to add to our lists. Give us a shout out. The show is edited by our wonderful audio gremlin, Andrew Brown, who you can follow on Twitter at XNubinator912X.
We are an Obtuse Audio Studios podcast. You can learn more about Obtuse Audio Studios at obtuseaudio.com. It helps us out incredibly if you're able to give us a 5-star review on iTunes or any other podcasting app that you're currently listening to us through. We'd really appreciate it. And one last time, I do really just want to say thank you for listening. We'll see you at the next episode.
What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Obtuse Audio.